Now, every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up as usual for the festival. When the festival was ended, they started to return. The boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it. Assuming that he was in the group of travelers, they went a day's journey. Then they started to look for him among their relatives and friends. When they didn't find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you with great anxiety." He said to them, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he said to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. His mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favor. What a story about parents in high anxiety. Jesus was 12 years old. Now, we don't hear anything about him from 12 years old until he's 30. I think Mary grounded him for 18 years. High anxiety indeed. In ancient days, it was a common practice when writing the story of a person's life for the author to include one story from the person's childhood. To foreshadow, that was the purpose, to foreshadow what will happen in their life as an adult. Now, if there were a biography about me using this ancient practice, a biographer might tell of the times I would take a white cloth and put it on my dresser and pretend to lead worship for my siblings. I probably gave them a sermon about being a good person or something. And then I'd give each of them a white Necco wafer. Now, for those who don't know, Necco wafers are little candies that look just like communion wafers. Someone hearing this story would say, it makes sense that this child would grow up to be a pastor. This is what Luke is doing in his story about the life and the mission of Jesus. Look at this child, this 12-year-old child, Jesus, and you'll see what he'll become. Luke gives us several hints at the beginning of this story, what's going to happen through and at the end of the story. We're not going to look at all the hints. There are many. We'll look at a few today. One of the hints is that this story takes place at the Passover festival. Making a trip to Jerusalem for the Passover was a centuries-old tradition. Jesus made this pilgrimage at the end of his earthly life. As that pilgrimage was made when he was 12, it would be made, and it would be his last journey to Jerusalem for the Passover. I think the most important clue about what will happen in the life of Jesus was when his parents found him. They found him after days. Luke wants us to remember that after 3 days, because on the third day, the crucified Jesus was found to be alive again. In the end of the story, it's not just the parents of Jesus who will find him. This is meant for all humanity. All humanity will be able to find the resurrected Jesus after the third day. Another clue that Luke gives us about the adult Jesus, I think, is the great anxiety that the parents of Jesus were experiencing. I think Luke was sending us a message that through the life of Jesus, people are going to have great anxiety over who he is and over his mission. The very people that he's talking to in the temple at 12 years old are going to be the leaders who are going to be responsible for him sent to crucifixion. Great anxiety indeed. So here Jesus was separated from his immediate family. In the future, he's going to be separated from everybody. Everyone in his adult life will lose him to death. Death on a cross. Death by the humiliation and suffering of crucifixion. And when this happens, everyone who knows Jesus will be filled with great anxiety because he was crucified, because he was laid to rest in a tomb. His parents had great anxiety when he was 12. Just wait until he's 33. Now, the way I understand Luke's story is that this is not only clues about who Jesus is, Luke is also giving clues about the listeners, we who hear this story. Luke is giving us clues about the followers of Jesus, who the followers of Jesus will become, who they're invited to become. Luke is inviting us into the story of Jesus. We are part of the story that Luke is telling. At the young age of 12, Jesus said he was in his Father's house. He was defining himself as belonging primarily to God the Father. Jesus was saying, "This is who I am, a son of God, the Father." That's why he's in the Father's house, the Father's domain. And Luke is inviting us to define ourselves in the way that Jesus defined himself. We are daughters and sons of God. As important as families are, and they are, as important as human relationships are, and they are important, Jesus gives us a new way to define ourselves spiritually, who we are daughters and sons of God. Now, as Luke's story unfolds, he directs us to learn from Jesus, the Son of God, what it means to be a child of God. Jesus is our model for being a daughter and a son of God. Jesus is going to teach us and show us what that means. Jesus is going to teach us and show us what it means to be compassionate towards others. Jesus is going to teach us that the sons and daughters of God are forgiving people. Necco wafers are fun, but forgiveness is what makes us a child of God. Jesus will teach us to serve others. Jesus will teach us to take care of each other, especially those who are injured by the side of the road of life. Jesus will teach us to take care of the poor, the outcast, the sinners, the suffering. Jesus demonstrates for us what it means to be a human being in this world. To be a human being in this world means to be a daughter and son of God. Luke told us that Jesus grew in years. We will grow in years, like it or not. It's human life. Sometimes we'll get lost. Eventually, we'll die. But we, as disciples, know that getting lost and dying is not the end of the story for the daughters and sons of God. Just like the life of Jesus, our lives will conclude with the resurrection to eternal life. The story today ends with the words, "Jesus increased in wisdom." Luke wants his listeners, us, to increase in wisdom, just as Jesus did. Now, wisdom is more than just learning things. Wisdom is being connected to the Father. Wisdom means to spiritually live in the Father's house, to live according to divine and holy ways. Wisdom, according to Luke, is receiving the Holy Spirit. This is exactly where Luke is leading us. Luke also wrote Acts of the Apostles. And that book begins with believers receiving the Holy Spirit, receiving the wisdom of God, receiving the life of God. And as the story continues, the daughters and sons of God continue to receive the Holy Spirit, and they continue the mission of Jesus in the world. That's who the daughters and sons of God are. We receive the Holy Spirit and we continue the ministry and the mission of Jesus. And Luke at the end of the reading told us that Jesus grew in divine and human favor. As daughters and sons of God, we live in God's love. As I've said so many times, we marinate in God's love. And when we love, when we marinate in God's love, we love one another. We love other daughters and sons of God. And we will have favor in this way. We will have favor in the sight of God and in the sight of our human sisters and brothers. As some of you know, I went to high school at St. John Candy Prep on 38th Street, no longer a school. It was a boarding school at the time I was there. I lived there. My favorite teacher during the 3 years I was there in high school was a man named John Colossa, Professor John Colossa. We called him Prof. He taught me algebra, geometry, advanced math, and chemistry. Now, Prof was an elderly man, didn't have much family, and he also lived at Candy Prep. He lived there. So we would see him often. One afternoon, when I was walking down the hallway, Prof was walking towards me. He was walking very slowly. Now, to my high school eyes, he looked like an old, feeble man. And he shuffled up to me, this old man, and he said, looked at me and said, "Minio?" And I thought it strange that he seemed to have trouble recognizing me. Minio? And I said, yes, Prof. And then he asked very feebly, just looked at me and said, are you in my chemistry class? I really thought his mind was going. And I said, yes, Prof, I'm in chemistry. And he paused in silence and he looked at me in the eyes a while. And finally he said, then why don't you start acting like it? Prof straightened me up that day. He turned around after he said that and he walked away. I didn't see it, but I know he was smiling at what he did to me. Prof got me through. He got through to me that day. He really got through to me. That year, catch this, I won the chemistry award at the honors banquet. And as a side note, one of my most treasured books is Prof's personal calculus book, a book that went through his family that he gave to me before I graduated from high school. My dear friends, we are daughters and sons of God. Imagine for a moment that God comes in here right now and looks at you in the eyes and asks you, are you a daughter of mine? Are you a son of mine? Are you a child of mine? And God says, before you answer, let me give you an extra measure of compassion. Let me give you kindness. Let me give you some strength and some food so that you can serve. Let me give you my love. Hear, God says to us, receive my Holy Spirit. Receive my wisdom. And then God says, my daughter, my son, you have what you need. So act like you're my child.